Welcome, sports fans, to the post-baseball edition of the William Hill Sports Show. World Series is over. Did you guys make... I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. What's going on, Josh?
Not too much. I'm actually just trying to check out the one Division I football game on tonight. It's exciting. Barn burner, Navy and Connecticut. Just kicked off.
27, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's right. Closed 26. Some steam on the Huskies
dog.
There, yeah.
Yeah,
it's actually 28, and it closed like 26, 25, but... I mean, I just took the over. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely. John the Hawk Stevens from around.
Yeah,
Independent sports handicapper.
Yeah, something like that. What's happening?
That's right. And Diego over here, he got fired, so he's just watching stuff. We finally got a professional board guy, Connor. We're going to get his input on some of these games. Break him in. So World Series. I had a good World Series. I made a bunch of prop bets, John.
Did you bet some road teams?
Road teams? Yeah, no.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I know. What John's referring to is that the road team won all seven games in the World Series. Yeah. You know, Houston goes back. Needing to win one of two back at home, obviously. They go 0-2. I bet the over in the game, over 7.5. When the game was 2-1, I think it was in the sixth inning or seventh inning. You know, I fired up my William Hill mobile app. Josh loves
nice.
It. He loves it. And they had the total. They had the total at 4.5. So I'm looking at this game at 2-1, and I'm thinking, well, Washington's been known to score late in this series. So if Washington can get one run in three and a half innings, it's going to be tied at 2. The game's got to go over because you can't end in a tie. So I bet over 7.5. It looked like I was going to lose that because, you know, they jumped out to a quick two runs early, and then it just went stagnant forever. I fired it up. I end up double barreling it, you know, because it actually gets over the 7.5 for the game, and then the over 4.5 in the in play, which was good. I was minus one unit on the prop bets, Josh and John. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had a most double play or more.
Yeah,
double
you had quite a list.
Yeah, I had quite a list.
It was like the Super Bowl.
But exactly, it was. I think there was 26 prop bets to William Hill. I probably bet 20 of them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I ended up minus one unit through the whole thing,
yeah.
Which was really good. Houston hit the first home run. Will the team that scores first win the game? I had the no. Double plays over 1.5. Will there be a hit batter? Yes, I lost that. Will there be a wild pitch? Yes, I lost that. I took some flyers on that. Will there be a triple? Yes, I lost that. I took a flyer on.
Wait, what's the odds on that triple being hit?
Like 5 or 6 to 1.
I was curious.
Yeah, it was a big number. I just took a shot at it.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah, so things like that, you know, runs, hits, and errors. Will Houston score more than – or will Washington score more than 3.5 runs? I had the yes on that.
You're so big on that wild pitch.
I was big on the wild pitch. With every pitch. Man, these catchers are so dadgum good now.
Yeah.
I caught in college. Listen, I was back when I was playing, you were terrified of anything in the dirt.
Yeah, well, you didn't have any equipment.
They call it now. Throw it. I want it to hit the dirt. And these guys, they smother it like it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
So with that being said, so I end up minus one unit on the props, and then – plus two big units, five-time units, so plus 10 units on the total.
Nice. No, I didn't do well. It's funny, because I actually gave up pretty early on this World Series because I lost the first couple games. I'm glad because I probably would have lost more. One, not even the road team thing, although that was a little bit bizarre, but the total, like, yeah, these pitching matchups were insane. Like, Scherzer against Verlander, I'm like, oh, for sure, we're going to see some 2-1s here. So game two, you know, 7.5, whatever, fire the under. No, I mean, it was 2-2 in the first inning. And then, as you mentioned, can stagnant forever. I think now I got a chance. And then
those
are the Nationals got, like, 8 runs
nope.
in that eighth or whatever it was. And they kept doing that. And so, I couldn't seem to get a grip on it. But you don't – I mean, they said it's the first series in all professional sports, a seven-game series where the road team won every single game. And honestly, I'm not terribly surprised because you literally just don't see that. I mean, home field advantage means everything in some sport to a certain degree, probably baseball.
Especially baseball, I think.
Right, but somewhat less than others. And hockey doesn't seem to matter too much. The road team wins a lot. But, it was weird that a home team never won, especially coming home 3-2 with Houston, just needing to, like you said, clip one of the two, and they couldn't do it. I mean, it was interesting to watch, but from a betting standpoint, I'm pretty happy that I stayed away because it was tough to get a hold of.
Yeah, just in general, not even betting wise, what a great World Series it was.
Wasn't it?
And it was just back and forth. The fact that all seven road teams won was unbelievable. I thought once Houston won game three, I thought, okay, they're going to win the next three. So it did turn out
that way. I thought
that way
after four. After Houston tied it, I thought, yeah, they've got command here.
I mean, I should have known how resilient the Nationals are just from the wild card game alone. That game was, they were dead in that game against the Cubs. and found a way to pull it out.
What about Milwaukee?
Yeah, no.
Wait, the Cubs didn't make the wild
card. I mean the Brewers, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
The Brewers, yes. And then the Dodgers, too. It was
they had to go through the two best records. They had to go through the Dodgers and the Astros. Think about that. Those teams, won, how many games did they win between them? 220 games?
That's exactly it. And it actually reminded me of, you know, not just because I'm a Giants fan, but it reminded me of a couple of those Giants teams that probably weren't the best team on paper, but
heart,
but absolutely chemistry. Found ways to win. Exactly. Yeah.
But if you were going to identify it, too, we kind of talked about that last week a little bit, the sort of underdog kind of line in the weeds that's going to get hot at the right time and win, I still would not have picked the Nationals because I just didn't think
I'd
that.
I'd pick the Braves.
Exactly. That was the team. And maybe be a year away, but you thought, you know, if everything came together, the Braves have the talent, they could break through. You sit there, maybe even the Oakland A's. I mean, who knows? But the teams with the talent, I mean, you still, if you look down the sheet of all the teams, whether they got the play-in game or just were in the playoffs period, I would never have landed on the Nationals.
But the Nationals are sneaky battle tested, even though they had
the oldest team.
I agree. I didn't realize without Harper how many good players they still had
they
left.
Still
Rendon's been around.
That's the thing. When you have Soto waiting there, you can let Bryce Harper go for all these memes with Harper.
Love it.
Pretty hilarious. Even though I am a Bryce Harper fan, but you feel good for guys like Scherzer and especially Ryan Zimmerman because he's Mr. National. It's pretty awesome, and hopefully the Expos fans from back in the day can revel in this a little bit as well. But what I was getting at is, you know, even though they haven't performed in October, they've been there a lot this decade, and for them to finally cash one in is pretty cool. I don't know if they can sustain this and build going forward because you mentioned the age of this team, but that was one hell of a ride right there. And I think it's better to be that hot team going in fighting and clawing. The Dodgers had that division wrapped up in June.
I agree. You lose your edge, John.
I think you kind of do.
Yeah,
they're clearly the best team.
Exactly, and I thought for sure. I mean, obviously anything can happen, but Astros, you know, Dodgers rematch seemed so likely. It just seemed like it was sort of headed that way, or if someone, you know, like it is kind of on the outskirts, made it in. I still thought, yeah, Houston's the best team, and for a different team to, you know, sort of an unknown to get there and to win it all, just shows you. I always look for the William Hill social media feeds after this happens, right? Because I want to know, like, how long are the odds were offered on the Nationals, like, who cashed in? And there were some pretty big ones, not like 200-1 or anything like that. But, yeah early in the season, when they were struggling, they were offered, I think, at like 40-50-1.
Yeah.
Some people jumped in and got a piece of it.
The team was 19-31.
Right. So so what are you thinking then? You know, they're going to win the World Series.
I think some people
did jump in and cash some pretty big tickets.
I think Roxy Roxborough said that the high seesaw was, I think, was 60.
Yeah, right. Just around there. Yeah. Seems about right.
So that's what Roxy
and, you know, as someone that follows baseball, the Nationals even kind of snuck up on me for a, I knew they were hot, I knew they were playing well, but I didn't realize that they were right in the thick of absolutely
John,
everything.
John, part of it, I think, do we have bias? No, I do, just because of the reputation of choking. Like you said, they're
totally
always there, but they never do anything.
Yeah.
Just for, yeah, they'll win the playing game, but Dodgers win, dock them out in five.
I think
whatever.
I even said on here that team had no heart, which was stupid, but they hadn't shown it in this run that they had that ability to go to that next level, and they sure as hell do now. Dave Martinez did a great job. You know, they were talking about firing him in May. So it's a really cool turnaround, and it's cool for that city. You know, that's the city of champions now with the Caps winning a couple years ago. And the Nats, I don't think the Wizards are going to do anything or the Redskins anytime soon, but it's –
they got a pretty good run.
That was cool. I mean, it's crazy that you know, that baseball's over now, and now we can focus up on football and basketball.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Speaking of no heart, I wanted to mention the one thing after the game I thought was terrible, the Gerrit Cole situation. I think it's funny because we could talk about this with, you know, Baker Mayfield taking all kinds of heat and that sort of thing. But what he did afterward, I just thought was unbelievable. You know, the media wants to talk to him, says, oh, sorry, I no longer represent the team. I'm not a member of the team anymore, and I can't talk to you. And then they eventually got out of it. I'm like, you know what, pal, you actually are, because you become a free agent starting tomorrow. Your
it's
obligations
true.
For the team include this game and all affiliated duties with the game, which include talking to the media.
Yeah.
I've just never seen anything like it. Oh, sorry, I'm not on the
Who
team
was that?
Anymore.
I'm sorry, I was
Gerrit Cole.
Oh,
he went into an interview and said, sorry, I'm not even a member of the team anymore. He's like, oh, I guess I could just represent myself, coming off as such an arrogant jerk. And then the next day, they sort of apologized, you know, came out on Twitter or whatever. I'm like, you know what, even at a down moment like that, you lost Game 7 of the World Series, you should be a little more dignified than that. And like I said, he was just straight wrong to say he was a free agent, you know, at that moment,
which he wasn't. What I read into that and his farewell to Houston the next day on social media was they made it pretty clear that he's not coming back. So
He kind of reacted.
He kind of reacted. He didn't get into that game where I thought he should have. You know, it's easy to be an armchair manager at that time. You see Garrett Cole warming up. As soon as Greinke's out, it looked like he was ready to go. I think you go for the kill right there. That's the stuff that Bruce Bochy would do. You put your best guy in the best situation to win at all times. You don't save anybody in Game 7. You go for it.
Right.
That's what I believe, at least. You know, I'm not A.J. Hinch. Obviously, he knows more than I do. But that's what I would have, personally, what I would have done. And I think Garrett Cole might have been thinking that same way. He's disappointed. That was a, you know, you don't know if you're ever getting back to the World Series.
He didn't maximize all his chances either, though, in the postseason.
Absolutely. I mean,
I
know what you're saying, but it seems to me that the writing was on the wall for him already, that how great he was, and he is.
He's filthy.
They made it clear that he's not going to be back.
No, and I hear that too. But I'm just saying, you know what? With the hour ensuing after the game, Jerry left the ballpark. He could have kept his dignity
for
intact.
For sure,
he could have gone up to the mic, did his stuff, and then said, "You know what? Now I'm out of here." And I can't cry too many tears for him because, within a week, I mean, who's going to write a checkbook like $250 million for the guy?
Angels, Dodgers,
he's going to get a crazy paycheck for how good he was this year.
I think one of those three teams is going to make a mistake.
Tommy Thompson just texted me this. In 2014, the Detroit Tigers pitching rotation, Justin Verlander, David Price, Max Scherzer, Anibal Sanchez, and Rick Porcello.
Yep.
They've all won World Series
all
since then.
All of them won it now.
Isn't that crazy? Come on, Detroit, figure it out.
Porcello was on the Tigers? I never knew that.
Yeah, he was their number one draft pick. But it's something else, man. It's good for the Nationals. One of our best friends, Chris Faltz, national fan. Follow us on Facebook. I had a good video of him when they won it. It was watching his face light up was pretty cool.
I thought he was going to tear up. He was tearing up at one time.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's a long time coming. Because he was a long time Expos fan.
Yeah.
So
you know, it goes back to, I remember when the last time the Nationals were almost there. It was back when Strasburg was there, and they shut him down. If you remember,
2012,
and they shut him down. Thinking,
which wouldn't have mattered. Giants would have still won it.
But what I'm saying is, they shut him down back then, almost with the anticipation: oh, we're stacked. We'll be back next year. Yeah. You know, we're gonna. And then it's been that long since they got.
I always thought if you have an innings limit on him, limit those innings in August.
Yeah.
Limit those innings in July.
Yep.
Don't wait till October when, especially that was the
Nationals. Why are you playing the game if you're going to?
That was
do
their
that.
First shot at it at that point. Yeah. So. Who knows? All's well that ends well. Strasburg was unbelievable. World Series MVP. I thought it was going to be Rendon.
Filthy. He was.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that impressed me most about Strasburg is when he gave up that mammoth home run, and I'm talking about he gave up a bomb. What, to Bregman?
Bregman.
He gave up a bomb, and that was in the first inning.
Yeah.
He very easily, mentally could have said, "I don't have it tonight." You know, but
not
man,
that guy
he tightened up his cleats and tightened up his belt, and he dug in. And he shut that team down.
Like Mike Krugo always says, if you're going to give up a bomb, give up a big one.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can just be like, all right, he got me.
In the Astros' second run, that was kind of fluky. So you're starting to think, is that the point where you get a little deflated, where they got kind of a fluke single down the line, and there was a misplayed ball over there. They score a second run. Oh, man, a home team, two zip in the game seven. But the Nationals, for some reason, they had that habit, that late inning burst. And just when you're sitting there thinking, they might have this wrapped up, here comes the six-run inning. I thought Rendon should have got it, too, by the way.
The catch that Soto made on Springer's line drive.
He was blistered.
That's do or die right there. That's two runs.
How about Kendrick being absolutely fooled on a fastball? And he somehow hits the right field pole.
When was the last time you saw Howie Kendrick pull a ball? I said it the other night. He knows who he is.
Yeah.
He sticks in his zone.
Yep.
Good for him, man. That's
and he has the biggest play ever. It's a different series, but he's the reason they're there.
Yep.
That was crazy.
And after a horrible start to that NLDS with the glove.
Yeah.
Since that moment, he made a horrendous error on a play that you and I could make.
Yep.
And it's just, and then for him to respond the way he had, a veteran. That's what's cool about baseball is guys like that. You're not going to expect Howie Kendrick to come through the way he came through. That was awesome.
All right, John.
And the National League, I like when the National League wins, especially when it's not the Dodgers.
Real quick, John, Giants 2020.
Yeah, great.
You're not looking for much there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. They're gonna make an effort for Garrett Cole. I believe. You know, if Bumgarner's up right now, they've got two hotshot prospects finally that are just about ready. They won't break camp with them, but you will see them at some point in 2020, Joey Barton and Ellie Ramos. But they're not ready to compete. You know, they still need a manager. They still need a general manager.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about
So it's hard.
Are you surprised they didn't sign any of these guys that just recently have been signed?
No, none of them. none of them were on their radar. The four guys that they have that they're talking to right now have been the ones I've been hearing. But, well, except for the new addition from the Dodgers, Clayton. I forget his last name, but it's hard to forecast the Giants.
Who were the candidates?
2 days into the off season. Gabe Kapler is probably the biggest name. The Astros bench coach, his name is escaping me right now. Pedro. Now I got all my names mixed up. He's Pedro. What the hell is his last name? The Royals.
He's cussing, Josh.
I know.
He's frustrated about the Giants. Because, he's cussing
because I don't have the names in front of me. But
the quality, Matheny.
The quality, yeah. The Royals hired Matheny,
and the Mets just hired Carlos Beltran.
Yeah, they just hired Beltran. Cubs hired David Ross.
So you're saying a lot of former players. Not
Joe Maddon.
That's becoming the trend. Former players not far at all removed.
I like that.
From the game, jumping in there.
Yeah, I like that. So I don't know. You can't forecast the Giants. They're not going to compete next year, though.
No.
No.
Following year?
Yeah, I'd say 2021.
It's an even year next year.
It is an even year. But, you know, the Dodgers have this on lock for a minute. They do.
Do they?
The division they do. who's coming up? The Giants aren't. Diamondbacks aren't. Padres?
What's more exciting, celebrating division wins or World Series wins? I mean,
let me speak to that.
Yeah,
World Series. Win all the division championships you want, Dodgers.
Yeah. So, all right. That being said, we recap baseball. Let's go off to our first commercial break. When we come
I'm not going to repeat that, Maddie.
We'll jump right into the NFL football season. This is the Windmill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, John the Hawk Stevens, resident independent handicapper, visitor of Red Sports Bar, loves the 805s at the Club Cal Neva.
Yeah, I mean, if that's how you want to define me, just in that bubble, that's fine.
That's about all the positive features you got. Do you have another positive feature you want to share?
Yeah, but that's with the ladies, not with you.
Did he set me up for that, Josh? Did he set me up for that?
Pretty close.
A little bit.
All right, NFL, let's talk about that. Last night's game, I had the game middled. Richard Sherman decides to take a bad angle, give up an 88-yard touchdown pass, and you know, he meets the running back at the 3 yard line and tries to go for the big hit. The guy walks through him.
Yeah.
He decides not to wrap the guy up. And then later in the game, he gets they get the 88 yard touchdown pass on a. They had the guy trapped on the sideline, the safety over the top. All Sherman had to do was not let the guy cut back in inside, and he overruns it. Then the guy gets back inside and he runs it. You know, outruns everybody to the corner, and then he goes on the bench and yells at everybody. I'm not a big Richard Sherman fan.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I mean, especially, as you mentioned, after a play like that, where, like, he was at least partially at fault for letting it happen. He's yelling at other people.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. He's kind of, you know, lost a step. But there are times where, you know, he's a solid player, but all the barking just gets a little old. But especially now, when you're not top tier like you were a few years back, man, just keep your mouth shut and play the game.
I've always been a fan of him. I like Stanford. I always follow Stanford.
Good for you guys.
And he's I've bought into his act over the years, but yeah, stuff like that. When you know we don't know exactly what he's saying, but it looks like there's no culpability at all on a play like that. And you know, I was playing against Kyler Murray in fantasy, so I was not happy about that either. But
yeah, you have him beat for the whole game.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he salvaged you know his fantasy value in one play. Ah.
And you know about Sherman, by the way, I like him, too, away from the field. Like, when he is extremely intelligent, so the times where they've had different conversations with him about different topics, he's really bright. I just don't like some of the stuff, you know, on the field with all his, you know, bragging and all that taunting that he's done, or the thing with Crabtree was in really poor taste, and whatever, you know.
But I can't stand Michael Crabtree. I'd love every second of the Crabtree
stuff. You mentioned the Stanford thing. Remember, he was actually a receiver there, and Richard Sherman's really famous for. He's actually the recipient of the touchdown pass that beat USC when they were a 41-point dog. That's what he's –
Absolutely.
You know, it's probably his best football accomplishment.
Where he first won me over, before he hit it really big, was when he challenged Skip Bayless that day on
amazing.
First Take.
See, that's what I'm saying. When he broke down Skip, that was beautiful.
Oh, that was huge.
To this day, check it out on YouTube, one of the best Skip moments
it's,
ever.
It's hilarious. So if it's – I know there's a lot of people who hate Richard Sherman, but I got to believe there's more people that hate Skip Bayless. So that's one for the ages right there.
Or or Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, exactly. But
what's funny is
they get paid a lot of money to piss
people off. I heard a good
take.
I was listening to the radio show the other day, and they were talking about a Van Pelt being absolutely the most loved guy.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, do you know anybody that hates Van Pelt?
No. If they do, I'll punch you right in the face.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so
he's just because he's a normal dude. He's someone that you absolutely would be sitting here right now just BSing with us.
No, you're right. He's by far the most popular guy there, and it's funny you mentioned Skip because I could go on and on, you know, with stories about him. But you know, so he moves on from ESPN. The funny thing now is, of course, that Fox has a much lower-rated show. He has a much better partner, though. Like, get rid of it. If you guys have heard, Shannon Sharpe is fantastic.
He's great.
He might be the best sports commentary guy in the business right now. But they got to send, I think, Bayless out to pasture and get him a better partner. But Shannon Sharpe deserves a bigger profile.
I look forward to SVP. I look forward to Bad Beats every Monday night. It's amazing because, you know, we live our life dealing with Bad Beats. And we all have these Bad Beat stories. Yeah. So watching those, we can all relate to it, and it's just great the way he handles them too.
Yeah, the way he illustrates it with the comments and illustrates it, like, oh, that one hurts.
He's smart, but he doesn't have to be the smartest guy in the room at all times. Right. That's what I like about him is he's an everyman.
I miss his radio show, which he may be better at than TV, but the Scott Van
SVP
and
Powell
show and then SVP and Russillo.
That was great.
That was great. And what's funny is they've since shown that one can't really do without the other, especially with Russillo. As a solo guy or with other people, he's failed, and he even did he recently left the company, but he was doing a podcast that was so low rated, they brought in Van Pelt to give it higher ratings. They actually had him record, the last six with Scott, or else otherwise no one was listening.
Absolutely. And do you guys watch the Daily Wager show too?
When I get a chance,
yeah,
not
good.
Bad.
And the one thing before we get to the first game, the second most popular sports, entertainer, Kenny B, me.
So. All right.
The traffic guy?
No, not that Kenny B, this game. All right, Jacksonville, Texans, 6:30 kickoff on Sunday. Don't forget this. First game on that Nick put on this.
Oh, because it's overseas,
Yeah, it's half-point cards in London. I don't get this line. I mean, I really don't. Yeah, 4-4 Jackson team and a 5-3 Texans team. Both teams coming off wins with the Texans beating the Raiders and Jacksonville beating the Jets. But, you had Deshaun Watson versus Minshew in a neutral. Give me the Texans all day here. I mean, this is just one of those games. Texans 4th-ranked offense in the NFL versus Jacksonville, the 10th-ranked offense. And I understand the Texans giving up 362, on defense, but I don't understand why the Texans aren't a small favorite in this game. Give me the Texans plus any points in this game, any points.
Yeah, I'd say about the same, Ken. You mentioned neutral site obviously takes away some of the rating and whatnot, and the Jaguars have been a little bit erratic, but given the body of work that we've seen from both clubs, I was surprised to not see Texans -3, basically.
Well, you have the best quarterback on the field, and you have the best wide receiver on the field.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Jags are the best running back, though.
Okay, and Texans are only giving up 85 yards on average a game on the ground.
No, I know. It is an interesting line. It's a line that scares you. Obviously, J.J. Watt's out. That's unfortunate. That dude is just—he's just unbelievable, and the league's worse when he's not in it. But I don't—he's would a defensive end have any effect on a line like this? I know he's the man.
Pretty much no,
but he wouldn't have that much of effect. So
maybe half a point.
Now the Jags are a regular participant in London. I wonder if that's factored in at all because they seem to play in London
every
year. That
could be a point, and they seem to win a lot.
Yeah,
even when they're terrible, it's like one of their two wins.
I was just trying to find that stat to see what their record is in London. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but yeah, it's the Jaguars are playing all right. They're playing well. Their defense is actually since they've alleviated their problem with the best corner in football, getting rid of him if that's a problem. They've been playing well. They're more cohesive, it seems. I kind of follow the Jaguars. I don't know. I hate them.
Because you like Minshew.
But I like Minshew. I love Leonard Fournette, and I always like their defense. So it's weird. I don't know. I'm not going to touch that game. Yeah, I will.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Jaguars.
What if
Jalen
Ramsey was still there? I mean, is it two? I mean, if you give him a half point? I mean,
you're right.
One
I mean,
and
that,
a half?
That could make
are
a difference.
Are you serious?
That
I mean,
could make
on.
A difference.
Give me Texans outright, money line. Bills, Washington, Bills at home, 9.5 is the number, totals 37. The Bills, 30th ranked defense in the NFL going up against the 30th ranked offense by the Washington Redskins. This is one of those games where Washington might have trouble getting on the board. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, this is Washington 1-7 this year,
right.
3-5 versus the spread. I like the Bills in this spot. This is going to be one of those games, guys, where I tease down to get it under a field goal. Because this is you look at the Buffalo Bills, 5-2 right now. They're in second place in the AFC. He's 3 games behind Washington. But, but they're right there as far as wild card is concerned. All the other division leaders in the AFC are 5-2. Did you guys know that?
Right.
They're all 5-2, and Buffalo's 5-2, so they're right there fighting. for a wild card position. I like Buffalo in this game, but I really like the Buffalo in a teaser. I'll be opening up some teasers, getting the Bills under three.
Yeah, it's probably the better idea, Ken, because like I said, you don't want to go defensive-oriented team. It seems real tough to stomach to lay, you know, double digits with the Bills. But if you're ever going to do it, this was a game, because you realize the Redskins are also starting Dwayne Haskins, who hasn't looked good at all.
I've heard,
limited action. Oh,
he doesn't. They say he still doesn't even know the playbook.
Right. This is.
I'd rather start Dennis Haskins.
I mean, they basically
Dennis O'Brien.
decided to, you know, I say tank, but threw away the season, see what they've got in him. But yeah, all the reports even before they fired Jay Gruden, he was saying that's why we're not seeing him on the field. Is like, hey, the guy's just not ready yet. And everything goes out the window, right?
And they fired Gruden. You want him? You got him.
Exactly. Throw him out there if that's what you want to see. And apparently, so he's not ready yet. So yeah, I would say it's not a bad time to take a shot on Buffalo.
I mean, Washington can't run the ball at all. They're averaging 84 yards a game. They're 30th in the NFL in total yardage. 261 is what they're averaging. Now they're going up against the Bills, you know, who have a third-ranked defense on the road with Haskins. I might have just talked myself into to not just a teaser, but maybe some Bills and over money. The one thing you got to do back when they're playing in New York is you got to make sure that the weather doesn't come into play at the last minute too,
sure.
Especially the wind. But I tell you what, if there's a wind, Washington might not score.
That's probably true. And Jags are 3-1 in London, by the way, against the spread and straight up.
All right.
Yeah, the Bills. Who has had an easier schedule, the Bills or the Niners? I mean, you can only beat who you play in front of you,
or the Patriots,
I guess it is the NFL, but yeah, it's just another ho-hum Bills game. But I took the Dolphins +17 a couple weeks ago against the Bills just out of principle.
I middled it,
and I'm kind of thinking that same way with the Redskins. But the fact that Haskins is playing, and I don't have any belief in that guy at all. I think the Bills whoop up on them. I don't see the Redskins scoring more than 6-7 points.
Yeah, unless defense gets involved
something
like that.
No, so. Sure.
Carolina and Tennessee. Carolina at home at 4-3. Tennessee 4-4. Panthers on the half point card are 3.5 with a total of 41, and a slight move to the over, moving up half point to 42. Carolina. You know, coming off both teams. Well, excuse me. Carolina's coming off a loss to San Francisco, where they absolutely got demolished 51.
Dismolished?
It's a hybrid word. 51-13, and the Titans coming off a 27-23 victory. You know, going into Carolina, though, I mean, I always look for these teams to bounce back in this spot. You know, you can get Carolina. I would need Carolina under 3.5 for me to back Carolina. Otherwise, this game's probably just going to be a pass for me. Both teams, 23rd ranked in the NFL for Carolina, 27th in the NFL for the Titans. No, not a lot of interest here. You know, maybe look at the total a little bit. If I can get the total to creep up over 42.5, I'd probably be looking to play the under too.
Yeah, you know, I like the Titans a little bit in this one just because, as you mentioned, Ken, it's a bit of a key number there, and I think – Carolina's just regressing a little bit. You don't want to judge everything on that one game, albeit it was an awful game. I think the Kyle Allen, you know, novelty's worn off a little bit. It just seems like this is where the Titans kind of show up. Like, they're not great against the spread as a favorite, and you don't want to get to, you know, the habit of backing them too often. But something tells me right here it might fall right on the three. I'd actually like, you know, take 3.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3.5 on the card still. I like the Panthers here. That got away from them last week a little bit, and you know, sometimes you regroup, come back home, and you know, it's not a great opponent that they're playing. I like the Panthers to bounce back here.
All right, Philadelphia, Chicago. Philadelphia 4-4. Chicago 3-4. You know, now last year Trubisky was going to be the savior. This year they don't even know if they want him in Chicago. Chicago's 2-5 against the spread. This Chicago team is just. They're bad. I mean, they really are bad. 29th ranked in offense in the NFL. They do play a little defense, but even the defense has been dropping. You know, after about week five, they're the number one. They're all the way down to number 7th in total defense. I've read some things that there's a little bit of dissension between the defense and the offense. Like, you know, we're doing our part. Why can't you guys?
Story of the Chicago Bears.
And then last week, you get the coach defending the fact that he didn't want to run a play from the 20. No, we got this. And the guy tanks the field goal, and San Diego or the LA Chargers come away to win 17-16. You have to run a play there.
I think so.
You have. He goes, oh, they knew it and they would stuff it. we might.
It's like, what if we turn it over? I mean, that was the worst coaching interview I've seen in ages. Yeah. We're like, yeah, he decided to be so defiant, arrogant about it. It's like, you know what? For one time, again, just take your medicine. Yeah, maybe we could have done better. He's like, oh, what if we fumble there? What if we throw it away? Well, you know what?
What if you gain five
yards? You had to run a few plays to get down there.
What if
you
score a touchdown?
You avoided disaster somehow in the previous five plays. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think he came off looking so terrible. What was funny is last year, Nagy was like the new school genius, right? He got all these yards out of Trubisky. The Bears won 12 games. Makes you wonder, Ken, how'd they take such a big step backward so fast?
Right now you have the Eagles minus 4.5 with a total of 43.5. That's what Nick used. And the total's actually has moved 2 points down. So if you like the under, bet it on the parlay card. You can get you capture 42, which is a big number. Yeah, it's 43.5, Josh. I mean, that's a number. That's a number you want to capture. No, 42 and 43, as a matter of fact.
For sure. Yeah, those are like key numbers for a total. But as far as the Eagles are concerned, you know, they actually finally came alive a little bit last week against Buffalo. And it's funny because they didn't do much on the offensive end still, but they got some turnovers. Their defense showed up. But I'm still not sure, despite everything we just said about the Bears, I'm not sure I'm ready to lay a touchdown with the Eagles yet, only because it hasn't worked yet. As a favorite, they're not playing real well.
Exactly.
It's only 4.5, though.
Two really disappointing teams for me. I thought they'd be much better at this point. And this will be the weekly reminder that the Bears traded up for Mitchell Trubisky and left Patrick Mahomes and Sean Watson sitting there. That's just the Bears. That's what they do. They don't want a quarterback.
Still think the bigger mistake was the Browns passing on Watson.
Yeah,
later on.
Absolutely, but it's they got their guy now, and they can live in that. But yeah, this game in particular, I think I'm with you. I'm not ready to lay a touchdown with this Eagles team. As talented as I thought they were. I know that they're banged up, especially
in
the receiving
corner. Why do you guys keep
saying
touchdown? It's only 4.5.
Because you more or less need a touchdown to win. I mean, how many games fall on 5? I mean,
six?
Not many. Yeah, I mean, you win on 6. But I'm just saying.
You win on 7, too.
I'm just saying, you see 4.5 or higher, and it's more or less
laying a touchdown.
I was just parroting Josh.
It's basically
it's in practical sense. You more or less need a touchdown gap more or less to win.
It's two safeties, Josh.
Exactly.
They're going to win by 2. They're going to win 4-0.
Yeah.
I'll take the Bears.
And 7's also a victory instead of a push.
And watch it, end up falling 25-20 or something.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So, all right, that's our first four games.
Shut up, Matt.
After our next commercial break, when we come back, we'll continue to run down this NFL slate on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back. I'm Kenny B, your host, Josh Nagel from Sportsline, John the Hawk Stevens. Make sure you like the page on Facebook at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. We'll be posting our picks a little bit later. You can follow Josh Nagel on Twitter at JoshNagel1 and get all of his stuff at Sportsline. A lot of articles out there right now, Josh.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ken. But yeah, it's another big football weekend, but particularly, as you know, with my preference in college, been digging into all the games, so I got plenty of content up there.
And you can always get in touch with John on Facebook. John is very active in posting a majority of our stuff on our Facebook page. Once again, that's Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. And we have Kansas City and Minnesota. Kansas City 5-3, Minnesota 6-2. You know, you look at this game, Minnesota's actually, it was TBD. It's a pick 'em. I really don't understand
this. You're TBD.
Kansas City, it's a pick 'em right now in Kansas City. Did Nick put Josh, can you see that? I don't see a total on the board. No, Nicholas, he has pick'em, but he doesn't. You can't bet it. So Nick has pick'em on the sheet. Nick Bogdanovich, the lead trader for Windmill Racing Sportsbook, he has pick right now. I would only have the Vikings in a pick'em. I know Matt Moore looked decent last week, but Delvin Cook running the ball against Kansas City, who's given up 145 yards a game on the ground. I think they're going to be able to do enough just to win this game.
Yeah, Ken, I think I like it the other way a little bit, only because, like I said, the Chiefs competed pretty well, and Moore was pretty decent. The defense was bad, but I think it's time for the Vikings to hit the wall a little bit. I mean, they've been playing well lately. Now the Chiefs are to where their season's kind of in jeopardy if they keep losing, and they even said today Reed was non-committal as to whether Mahomes would play. You got to factor that in. You could get lucky. If you take the Chiefs at a pick-em, then he plays. You've got, like 6 points worth of value.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing.
But still, they just said, he remains questionable. So all that's possible, but I just feel like the motivation spot favors Kansas City there. They're pretty much in a dire situation. They need to win the game in order to keep their playoff hopes alive.
John?
No, it's tough. With that hanging over there, I think that's more for preparation's sake to – you don't want to have them just preparing for Matt Moore. He looked pretty good as far as being out for as long as he was, out of football.
Sure,
yeah,
John.
Like you said, Ken, the defense was probably the bigger concern because Moore, I'd say, as a backup, pretty much did his job.
the Vikings are really playing well, mostly at home. But the Vikings are, I mean, they're kind of rolling right now. It would be only the Vikings for me at this point.
Kansas City, the fifth-ranked defense in the NFL. And you
Kansas
know,
City?
Excuse me, Minnesota, the fifth-ranked defense in the NFL. Kansas City is 24. But there's film on Moore now, too. So now you got a little bit more information to work with. So if it's a pick'em, I will be taking Minnesota and I will be teasing them up to get them right around a touchdown. I do like them in a teaser spot, but I also like Minnesota to win the game outright. I think they have enough on offense and enough on defense just to figure out a way to peel out this win.
All right,
man. You guys, 1-6, the New York Jets. 0-7, the Miami Dolphins.
Sweet.
I know. Somebody's got to be favored.
Who'd the Jets beat?
How about the Jets? How about the Jets going?
Kenny, who'd the Jets beat?
I don't remember. The Jets going on the road, laying points in Miami. Man, it's Tank Bowl, guys. It's Tank. Miami can't afford to win this game. They're going to lose. They're going to lose their number one spot
exactly.
in the draft. I mean,
started what 14-0.
Only
on
one of these
night.
Teams is actually tanking.
They
the
came
Jets,
back to Earth.
The Jets try to play every week.
No, yeah, 30, and they have the worst offense in the NFL. The worst.
Well, that's mostly without Josh's favorite quarterback, Sam Darnold. Yeah.
They're not doing a lot with him.
I know.
Yeah, you know what? But honestly, I hate to say it, but I would take the Jets here only because I think it's a little value. As bad as the Dolphins are, and I do believe they're not real keen on trying to win a ball game. I mean, the Jets at this point, I mean, there's a little separation there. The Jets are a better team. Three points.
A wise handicapper told me one time, he said, be careful betting on bad teams. You know why? Because
they're bad.
Right.
So with that being said, you know, you look at this total, it's 40. You know, Fitzpatrick.
You know my theory.
That's what I like about. That's what I like about Fitzpatrick is that he's going out there and he's not just going through the motions trying to steal a paycheck. Fitzpatrick's trying to win games.
I agree. I mean, he's trying. You know what I realized too Monday night because you never get to see the Dolphins is they have a decent receiving core.
Yeah.
I mean they actually have some good players in some spots. I mean they're turning the thing down. I thought it was funny though with the fire sale that everything that happened is like they got nobody left. Like no, we got one Kenyon Drake. I mean I think they said that exactly one good player
Mark
left.
Walton,
let's make sure. But Mark Walton. I'm surprised. I don't think he's an NFL caliber back, but. No, I mean, they got Devontae Parker. Who's the other guy from him? Alan Hearns. I mean, decent receivers. That's about it. But you're right, Fitzpatrick, he's at least out there giving it a go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's laying points on the road with the Jets is not something I'm a big proponent of, but I think I'm going to have to do it this time. And I wonder what Le'Veon Bell, if he's happy with his decision about this time.
Did you hear the rumor that
the Steelers
actually,
called? Yeah,
they actually tried to.
That's funny. If true, that's funny. But you know what? And if I were him, he should have taken it because they could be better with him.
And what's funny is it's a completely different situation between what Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell in that, you know, there's those two completely different scenarios. I think they could make that work with Le'Veon. Not that it's going to happen, but I thought it was funny. I thought it was interesting.
But you know what? Doubtful, though, especially considering he did, stand him up for an entire year and sat out. I don't know if you can make that work again. But the funny thing is, but the question being, does he regret it? I'd say probably yeah.
Oh,
because he sat out that year, turned his nose at the $15 million he'll never get back. They got a somewhat decent market rate deal on a team that's going nowhere. They don't even hardly – they give him the ball, but other teams know he's your only real weapon, so he's not putting up big numbers. So it's like, yeah, you kind of got your money, and now you're stuck. He's got to regret it.
He's a rapper anyway.
I like this game over. Even though the Jets are averaging 11.1 points a game, that's what the Jets are having a game. The Dolphins are averaging 11 points a game. But if you flip it to the defensive side, the Jets are given averaging 26 points a game giving up on defense, and Miami's giving up 34. I like this game to go over. I mean, I just think both offenses are going to be able to do enough to get over a very, very short total of 40 and a half.
For some reason, when you see this in the NFL, I don't know why it is, but it seems uncanny. But whenever it's really the worst of the worst bad teams, it seems to
over.
Go over.
It does happen all the time.
I love it.
And when you get the best of the
best. That's
my theory.
A lot of times
I like to bet those games under.
Yeah, that was the theory I was getting to. Was when two teams are this bad, this late, let's go. Just
40.
Bet it over. Yeah.
40.
40. That's not hard.
No.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Colts traveling to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. Colts a small favorite on the road. Pittsburgh coming off a 27-14 win after spotting Miami 14 points. Indy beats Denver on a last-second field goal by Vinatieri, 15-13. You know, Indy 5-2, Pittsburgh 3-4. Pittsburgh's still there, John. Like I said, the AFC, the division, all the division leaders are 5-2 right now. Pittsburgh, they're fighting. I mean, they're playing.
They are.
And offense, not so good, 28th in the NFL at 293. John, what's your thoughts on this? Is your squad?
Yeah, I mean the Steelers had a legitimate a chance to beat the Seahawks, Niners, and Ravens that they just kind of let slip through their hands late, or else they'd be really right in this. Colts are really good, top to bottom. You know, too bad Andrew Luck had to do what he had to do, because this team would be an absolute Super Bowl contender, I believe. And that's
with a big drop off at quarterback, they're still winning.
They're still winning. Their offensive line is great, playing pretty good defense. And James Conner is probably out. He's listed as doubtful.
And the backup's out.
Well, no, he's back. Jalen Samuels is back now.
No, the other one.
Benny Snell. Benny Snell's out. But Jalen Samuels is the depth chart backup. So he'll be getting the start. And he can rumble. He's really versatile. NC State did everything, as we remember. But
what they told me and what I always hear from the fantasy guys, John, is that no matter who the starting running back is for Pittsburgh, you want him.
I picked up Jalen Samuels.
So did I.
This afternoon.
He was available. I want to play in the league if he's available.
He was. Everybody was sleeping on him. I was like, let me get Jalen.
Well, that's because he was probably not at the very top of the list. He was like on the second page.
I got an update on my phone that Connor was doubtful. I went right to the site and said, oh, Jalen's still there. I got him.
But anyway,
this is rough. I think I like the Colts here.
And when you're done, you trade into the Connor owner and you say, listen, you're going to have the starting running back for Pittsburgh for the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly. And he happens to be a Steelers fan. But I like the Colts here. I think the Colts are just a better team top to bottom than the Steelers. Steelers are playing pretty good defense. Mason Rudolph looks all right. They're heading in the right direction. It's not so desolate to be a Steelers fan right now, but I think the Colts are just flat out better top to bottom. What is it, 1.5?
Yeah,
just to win the game outright. It's down to one. I like the Colts here.
I like the under in the game, guys. You know, you look at these two defenses. Indy, the 15th-ranked defense in the NFL. Pittsburgh, the 10th-ranked defense in the NFL. I think that if it plays true to form, turnovers and things like that don't come into play, I don't see a lot of big plays. I think Indy likes to play a strong running game. I think Pittsburgh wants to play a strong running game and not let the quarterback lose the game. And I think the game goes under. Nick used 43.5 on this card. You know, once again, Josh and John, you know, I capture 41 and 42 and 43.
Yeah,
so I kind of look this to be a little bit of a slugfest, kind of like the 15-13 game that Indy played last week, or even the 27-14 game, you know, that Pittsburgh played last week. And I just don't see a lot of separation here. I think this is about 2.5 points too high for this total. I think Nick should have came with about a 41 and a half.
I agree with that. And you mentioned it. About turnovers, the Steelers have been great at forcing turnovers this year. That's the addition to Minkah Fitzpatrick has just made the whole defense blossom as far as creating opportunities, creating turnovers, getting to the quarterback. So that's one thing that I think is in the Steelers' favor is their ability to create turnovers and get after the quarterback. But I just think the Colts are just better top to bottom. And it's going to be really interesting. If the Steelers win this game, they're going to be right back in this thing.
Yeah.
Because the Ravens do play the Patriots. So
I agree.
We shall see.
Yeah, so you would be looking at Baltimore going to 5-3 and Pittsburgh going to 4-4, literally one game out.
Yep.
Okay. Is it Big Ben's out for the year, right?
Out for the year.
No chance for him to come back later?
No chance.
Okay. I thought that. I just wanted to verify that.
One thing we've seen, I think, you know, you mentioned that no matter how things shake out down the road, Mason Rudolph's good.
I thought there was some
value on him in the third round
But he's always good to throw one to the other team in a bad spot.
Maybe, but you know what he's also doing? Just distributing the ball well. Like, who's the rookie? Get Deontay Johnson. I mean, he's throwing it to everybody. Rudolph is showing. He's just, hey, wide open guy, gets the ball. Oh. And I wonder, like, you know, Roethlisberger comes back. It's funny. Let's say Big Ben comes back and wants to play 3 more years. Like, okay, great. You just got Rudolph a huge contract for someone else.
That's right.
But if he hangs it up or plays 1 more year, then their future is set. I think you've seen more. The more he plays, it's clear that they trust him. So you don't have to hand it off to somebody 30 times. Yeah, he'll make plays to help you win.
I agree with that. It was a unique situation for the Steelers to be able to get this audition with Mason Rudolph, because you don't know what you have. I mean, it's kind of like with Garoppolo. They didn't know. The Patriots didn't really know what they have. And then when they shipped him to San Francisco and they won the last 5 games of that year. So that's it. You kind of get to see who he is. You have Ben lurking. He's gonna come back next year, get that elbow fixed. Maybe they don't need him. Maybe Mason Rudolph peels off 8 straight wins right here, and the Steelers win their 7th Super Bowl. How about that scenario? I like that one.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, John. I like Indy in the game also, but I really like the under, especially if I can, you know, I just don't see a lot of separation, like I said, unless the defense gets involved in here. Detroit traveled to Oakland, 3-3. Detroit playing 3-4. Oakland. I feel like the Raiders are better than 3-4. I mean, I really do.
I think they're exactly who they are.
Okay, what is your opinion on that, John?
Well, I thought that they kind of overachieved a little bit, and now I think they're kind of regressed to the mean. They, you know, they've let that game go. Was last week when they played
Houston.
Yeah.
They lost 27-24.
Yeah, they kind of let that one go.
Carr fumbled the ball through the end zone and then against Kansas City. Was that Kansas City?
Yeah, so they've had a couple things right there. I think they're exactly where they need to be here. Lions been playing well all year. I'm not ready to ever back the Lions on the road. So I kind of like the Raiders here.
You know, Raiders at home, Josh. Raiders are laying 2.5 with a big total of 50. Right now, it's down to a flat 2. It's still 15
yeah,
and a half.
It's probably a pass for me. But thanks to the Raiders, I think surprisingly competitive on the front that people didn't expect them, you know, that Monday night win, you know, to follow it up with a couple more and an impressive one over the Bears. And yet, they also did let a couple slip away. So this is a tough spot here. I mean, probably just a pass, but I don't trust Detroit either.
You know, the one thing that I see right here that I do like is Oakland's running the ball. They're running the ball 131 yards a game. Detroit, they can't stop the run. They're giving up about $1.30 a game. So I think that Oakland is going to be able to do just enough to control the game and through the clock. And if you can get Oakland less than a touch or less than a field goal at home, it's a lay for me. It's absolutely a lay for me.
Raiders can run the ball a little bit.
Who?
Raiders.
Yeah, 131 a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, and Carr, you know, he's Carr's tough. Carr's tough. You know, so with that being said, I'd be looking at the 50.5. How long we got till? We got about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Before we have to go off the traffic. This 50 is a lot of. That's a lot of points, though.
I'll bet
that
it over.
A lot of points. Oh, just,
I'll bet it over.
All right, Josh, real quick, Oakland, pass. All right, this is one of those times. Time to go off to get some Montuckies. John, go off and get some of those
cold
snacks. Cold snack Montuckies here at the Club Caliniva. Let's go get us a couple of those. We'll be back after these messages. ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back. Just kind of skinning this card right now. What do we got? Where are we at? I just told you guys. I walked up and got one of those
Seahawks Buccaneers.
Went over there and had a beer, got a beer real quick. One of those Montuckies. Love those Montuckies. Seahawks at home versus Tampa Bay. 6-2 Seattle versus 2-5 Tampa Bay. I feel like Tampa Bay is a little bit better than this record. I don't know why I feel like that, but I do feel like that. But, you know, Seattle, they're laying, what are they laying? Six and a half. 6.5 and 51. I don't know. Seattle, offensively ranked number 9th in the NFL, but their defense is really taking a step back. You know, they've traded away, got rid of a lot of players. They're number 23 right there. But I look for this game to be a little bit of a scoring fest. Once again, you got to be real careful about the weather in Seattle, Josh and John.
Yeah,
you got to be careful about that.
You know what? Sometimes they can score through that as well. But I think 51, I think it goes over. Like I said, I think the spread's a little difficult to navigate. Last week, I liked the Bucs against the Titans. That fell apart, but they were plus 2.5, and they had, the blocked field goal taken away from them.
Yeah.
It was the game-winning touchdown, so that happens. This one, too, it's almost tough territory, laying a touchdown with the Seahawks. But the way both defenses have been vulnerable, those offenses are pretty explosive with big plays. I think it goes over pretty easily. I could see both teams cracking 30.
Yeah, I agree. That's one thing. The Buccaneers had a little rough start to the game on Sunday, but they really righted the ship and they scored a lot of points. Jameis is playing all right. But Kenny, this will tell you if fantasy has any correlation to gambling. I've been instructed by the powers that be to bench Lamar Jackson and play Jameis Winston.
I've heard
this week.
I've heard that.
And I'm like, I don't know about that.
And I think the reasoning behind that is because, you know, we're going to get to the Patriots game, is that the Patriots take away your best.
They do.
Who are they taking away in this game? They're gonna spy Lamar. They're going to spy Lamar, and they're going to say, beat us with your arm, kid.
Yeah.
And this is, John, this is really going to be a good test for this Lamar Jackson kid.
If I bench him and he goes off, and Jameis is awful, I'm going to shoot myself. But anyway, get back to the stuff that matters.
But look at the weather, too. Look at the weather.
Yeah, I know, but it's, you know, I think that's a tad overrated. Wind is the only thing I really.
No, in Seattle, it's not.
I think it is. I think it is, period. Remember, we watched a playoff game here 5 years ago in 3 feet of snow in that Eagles game, and they scored 50 points.
A few weeks ago, the Rams and Seahawks played that Thursday night game in wind and rain, and they both got over 30 points. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, I understand you got to pay attention to it, but that's something that, I don't know. Look at Hawaii coming to Reno a few weeks ago. Oh, Hawaii can't.
Oh,
it's going to be nice and cold and sleet and rain, and they just beat the brakes out the Wolfpack. So I think it's a tad overrated. But, yeah, this one, I like it over. I don't really have a side lean. If I were, I guess I would take the Seahawks just being at home. But yeah, I'll definitely be on the over here.
All right. I would probably only like the over two. So Denver at Denver playing Cleveland. This is an interesting game right here, guys. You know, Flacco out, got this other guy coming in, and you have Cleveland absolutely fighting for for their lives. But can Cleveland go on the road and lay 3.5 at Mile High, Josh?
Right. No, I don't think so. Here's the funny thing. And Ken, just because of that, it's interesting, the Denver quarterback change, because Flacco being out, it seems to have prompted all this action at Cleveland all week. It's all they heard. Everyone's taking the Browns. I'm like, you know what, that's kind of funny, because there's probably not a huge drop-off between what he was producing and what the backup would do, which is to say not much. Broncos haven't been much to speak of offensively, no matter what they do, but they've been hanging in there on the defensive side, and the way the Browns seem to be possibly, in the midst of a free fall, this just feels like a public special. Hey, Cleveland might win the game, but it'll be by like 2 points. I say you got to take the underdog.
Who's playing? Is Drew Lock playing?
No, his name's Brandon Allen. He's a guy who he played at Arkansas a few years ago. He's actually been in the kind of the Broncos farm system for a few years now.
Interesting.
And yeah, never taken it. I don't think ever taken an NFL live snap. His first start for sure.
So this could be a little get well game for the Browns here. Who, they're still obviously they didn't reach these expectations that were thrusted upon them before the season. But I still think that's a talented team. I still think that they're going to have to play with pride. Does Freddie Kitchens survive this season? And,
well, yeah, I think he survives the season, but I don't think they bring him back next year for sure.
Yeah, it really does go to show you, because they're probably the Ravens, the most talented team in that division, and they have not lived up to it whatsoever. The team's dumb. They make stupid mistakes. They're so penalized. They can't get out of their own way sometimes, it seems. But I think this has the potential for a get-well game. I like the Browns.
No, but for sure, and like you mentioned, with all the off-season acquisitions, if you just read the roster, and even included the injured guys, I would say they're probably the most talented team, because there are times where we're just watching the Browns or seeing guys on their bench, like, oh, I didn't know that guy was there. Like, yeah. They are so loaded, and I think that's why Kitchens was sort of a fringe pick. It's like, okay, he was the guy who had the relationship with Mayfield. You realize he wasn't even an offensive assistant. I mean, he was like the quarterback's coach,
that's
and everyone just went down. Greg Williams.
Give him the coordinator and bring in a proven coach.
Yeah, exactly. So he moved from third-tier offensive assistant to head coach only on the merit of his, trust or whatever with Baker Mayfield, more or less approved of the hire. And, yeah, if it goes the way it's looking right now, if they end up with double-figure losses, he's probably gone.
Yeah.
Where were you guys at? I had actually
Browns and Broncos.
Browns and Broncos. I think it's a must win for Cleveland. And I like that. I like the fact that you have an unproven quarterback in the Denver Broncos. Listen, even before Flacco, they had the 26th ranked defense or offense in the NFL at 315 yards a game. I think Cleveland's going to go in there, and John and Josh, we talked to everybody's talking about Cleveland going to the Super Bowl, most bet team, them and the Bears.
Yeah.
This is Cleveland's Super Bowl right here. They have to win this game.
To.
I mean, they're 2-5 right now. I mean, if they let this game,
I call it a get well game, Kim, when you got up for a second. That's what I think it's going to be.
Okay, I agree with you, John. Green Bay and the L.A. Chargers. That's right.
Look at that. You got it right.
I
mean, you did have San Diego earlier, but
I know I did.
That's neither here nor there.
Green Bay, L.A. Broncos. Mark that game off. We're down to here. Chargers at home, getting 3.5 points. Packers going on the road. Laying 3.5. Yeah. John, I know that you were very, very, very high on you were very high on the Chargers.
Absolutely.
At the beginning of the year, as was I. And I was kind of down on Green Bay, but I've been wrong.
Script has been flipped.
So, I mean, can Green Bay continue at this pace? 7-1, 6-2 versus the spread?
No.
They go on the road last week and they beat Kansas City 31-24, and they didn't really separate. Now they have to go on the road and play the Chargers. I kind of like the Chargers
spot.
I really do, getting the points. Here, John?
I do too. I don't think they're
John,
great.
Go
I
mean, the,
no,
John,
go ahead, Josh.
I would say
Josh.
The Packers, I don't want to lay road points with that often. Honestly, I was surprised.
This ain't a road
I took
game.
Well, right, especially the Chargers getting no home support no matter what. But I was actually kind of surprised. Believe me, I was glad I had the Chiefs on a teaser because that one. But I also took them straight up. There was late steam on the Packers. And like, oh, I'm looking good here at 5.5 points. And I'm stunned that, the Packers cover that. It's usually not their nature. I think they're going to regress, a little bit. But it's one of those things. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, made a bunch of plays at back of the end zone throw, but the Chiefs were right there. As much as the Chargers have underachieved completely this year, I think the implied value's there, because if you roll back the clock, if this was week one, they'd be minus three.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the Chargers' MO forever. They got lucky winning that game at Chicago last week. Here you go. It's a perfect scenario for them to rise up. And this, you know, we kid about the home field advantage in L.A., but you saw what happened when Steeler Nation was there. The Packer fans travel just as well as Steeler fans do. You're going to see as many Cheeseheads hats as you did terrible towels probably. But I like the Chargers in this scenario. It's time. Chargers do this every year, it seems. The Packers are very good. I don't think that they're going to take a nosedive by any means.
But
I think they've played a little over their skis.
But they're not going to go 15-1.
No, absolutely not.
And you look for a spot to be a letdown. I mean, look, they just beat Kansas City. They beat Dallas.
Yeah.
And now they're traveling and going to play the
Chargers.
L.A. Chargers.
Yeah.
I mean,
who's as talented as they come? And if they play their game, they can absolutely win this game outright. And
Devontae Adams is a game time decision. You know, he's been out a few weeks with that toe. Rodgers is slinging it all over the yard, you know, but, you know, I just look at this Green Bay defense. They're 22nd in the NFL. They're giving up 123 on the ground, 251 through the air, giving up 20.4 points a game. And this 3-5 team, we keep talking about this. Other than the Patriots, every other division leader is 5-2. Another spot. The Chargers at home getting points to try and stay in this race. They're tied with the Raiders right now. They're 3-5. Raiders are 3-4. This is a must-win for the Chargers. Absolutely must-win for the Chargers.
Yeah, it is. I think they get it done.
All right. Baltimore and New England, the game of the week. It's the late game on Sunday. You have the Patriots going on the road, laying 3.5 to Baltimore, total of 45.5. Baltimore, it used to be 1-2. What the Patriots are 1 in defense, and Baltimore is 2 in offense. All through the years, it's been vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
Baltimore number 1 or 2 in defense, and the Patriots number 1 or 2 in offense. You're talking about, you know, you made the comment earlier, John, about scripts being flipped.
Yeah.
This is kind of a flipped script.
Totally.
I look at this game. Man, the more I look at it, doesn't it feel like Baltimore's going to win this game?
I mean, they've traditionally given the Patriots fits, especially in the playoffs, in big game scenarios. This is, you know, this is the Sunday night game, which is always considered a really big game. There's a little more on it when it's the only game going, and we're going to find out a lot about Lamar Jackson right now, because like you said when we talked about it a little bit earlier, what does Belichick do? He takes away your best option every time and makes you beat him somewhere else, and that's Lamar Jackson. So,
hey, John, aren't you surprised, like, in the last year of the playoffs, like, oh, it's kind of exposed with the Chargers, with the ones who threw out, like, 7 safeties on the field?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're just going to cut off the sidelines and not let Lamar run, completely tore him down. Like, wow, copycat league, everyone's going to do it. He's back to running for 100 yards a game.
Yeah, I know.
And no one else copied that game plan?
Yeah, it is a little surprising. I thought that – I honestly did think that last year – that he was exposed, but you know he's a great athlete and he's a good quarterback and we're gonna find out. I know what you're saying. I'm not gonna bet against the Patriots. You know that when it's light like this, that's a lot, man. Three, that is, boy. But
home,
I can't bet against
the
Patriots.
Sunday night.
Home dog, a very good home dog.
What about the under in this game, guys? 45.5 Patriots this year. In totals, 2-6.
Yeah.
Of the 8 games they played, 6 have went under.
Yeah, I would lean to that for sure. But I just can't.
I mean,
I can't believe it's the Patriots.
Look at the way the Ravens are going to score. It's going to be running the ball.
It's going to have to be running the ball.
Exactly. How does this game get to 45? Josh, how does it get to 45?
I don't know. 45.
But here we are talking
still
about
the moderate total. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, how'd you go broke on Sunday? I bet the Patriots came out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it was funny, Kim, by the way, talking about flipping the script. You remember, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, how did the Patriots become the 85 Bears on defense? But they were terrible. Remember last year when they started off and losing some games and the Lions scored like 40 points on them?
Yeah.
And through about 8 weeks, and they had the worst defense in the entire NFL in terms of scoring defense. Like, yeah, the Patriots, Brady, great. They're going to have to outscore people. They're just a sieve on defense. How do you go from that? Again, we talk about the system, whatever. You know, there's personnel overhauls here and there, and you do a little drafting, but still, how do you go from the absolute worst to the best overnight on defense?
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. You know, and Brady, you know, here he is. You know, the only undefeated team in the AFC, and here we are talking about Brady being, if he makes another Super Bowl, well, he's already the greatest of all time, but, I mean, you can't really get down the guy because he makes it and loses. Listen, only two teams make it, and he makes it. He's won it, what, 25% of his career, 30%? Something crazy.
Yeah, it's, I hate it.
All right, that's it after our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll handicap the Monday Night Football game, get some college picks, and Josh has got some UFC, a huge UFC card. It's ESPN Sports Handicapping Show on 94.5 FM.
All right, welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Radio Show, ESPN 94.5 FM. Ken Barler temporarily has some business to tend to here at the Club County Eva, so until further notice, Josh Eagle with John Stevens with you for the final stretch run, and we just had one more game to go over, the Monday night football game here, Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. It's Dallas minus 7 with a total of 48. To me, that's a tough one with, you know, the Cowboys. They've been a little bit erratic, and we know the Giants are kind of in rebuilding mode. But given the rivalry in this NFC East, the setup on Monday night, honestly, I'd only take the underdog. I don't think you can lay 7.
What happened last time the Cowboys were in that stadium?
Oh, it was like 52-3 or something.
No, they busted the Jets a couple weeks ago.
Oh, right, right. I thought you meant when they played the Giants. No, but yeah, in that stadium.
No, just in the stadium.
They have bad mojo so there.
Or they have a bad taste in their mouth and they want to right or wrong. But, yeah, it's 7.5, and in you mentioned the rivalry means something, and it's a primetime game, obviously, and it's just, man, I can't lay 7.5 right here. The Cowboys are 7 points better than the Giants, I believe, but it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, the Giants have shown a pulse lately. I mean, they're not that bad, right? I mean, the quarterback, he's got some growing pains. It's funny, it's Jones because he's pretty accurate. He actually not throws a bunch of picks, but he's turnover prone with the fumbles. He fumbles it a lot when he gets hit. And they're kind of – Saquon Barkley, it's funny because he's back being healthy, but it's weird. The offense has been a little more stagnant since he's been back. But still, I would have the underdog. Ken, would you lay the points on the Cowboys?
You know, being a Cowboys fan and
– what happened last time they were in that stadium?
Well, being a Cowboys – I can't remember. Being a Cowboys fan, you know, you kind of know when the Cowboys are going to rise up. And, you know,
this is one of those times?
I really do. I think it is. And I know that they're going on the road – you know, I know that they're laying a touchdown, but, you know, you look, Dallas has the number one offense in the NFL. They're getting 437 a game. The Giants, 28th ranked defense in the NFL. And I just think that it's going to be one of those games where I really like, I definitely like Dallas in a teaser, right? Bring them down and
I'm with you there.
Get them under three. But, you know, and they're talking about the Giants being back at full health. But if Dallas really is going to contend for the Super Bowl, they can't lose this game. You can't go on the road as a 7-point favorite and lose a division game. They're 4-3. Philadelphia's coming on. Philadelphia's 4-4. Philadelphia might be the better team right now. Dallas cannot let this game slip away. I think you get a big effort from the Cowboys, and I just think they have a little bit too much. I think the Cowboys are going to blow them out. I really do. I don't think that young quarterback is going to be able to.
He doesn't say that often.
No, I don't. And you're right, John, and I don't. You know, and I'm going against the old Monday night home dog trend.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But I'm a Cowboys fan, but very seldom do I ever, ever feel this strong about something when it comes to the Cowboys. I really think Dallas is going to blow this team out.
Talk about Monday night voodoo. How about Mike Tomlin being 12-0 at home on Monday night? It's pretty cool.
How about him spotting the team 14 points and keeping it going?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, with that being said, Wolfpack tomorrow, we have a basketball game too. Wolfpack tomorrow playing New Mexico.
Correct.
When this line came out, I posted it. I'm absolutely stunned that it's as low as it is. I really am.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing that this line is that far. And I posted that on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
I said embarrassing.
Right.
That's all I wrote.
It's funny, Kim, when it came out Monday, you might remember, though, I texted you. It's funny, I didn't know you'd already gotten your attention. But it opened 4.5. I saw it Monday. I texted Ken or whatever. He's like, yeah, look, I already posted it on Facebook, and I saw his thing. It was kind of funny, so we were thinking the same way. But it's one of those situations where we talked a little bit before the show, Nevada 4-4. You wouldn't know it the way they played. And you know what, John, I think part of the reason why it really is quality opponent. You look at that signature victory against Purdue, we're all impressed with. It's basically downhill from there. I mean, in terms of who else would beat, okay, FCS team, a couple other real bad teams. I mean, UTEP and San Jose State, who is improved, but nonetheless. But then you look at the whole body of work against Mountain West, and to me the discouraging thing is that's where we play, the Mountain West Conference, against somewhat quality competition, haven't even gotten close to competing. That's where it's disappointing. Look at Hawaii, your Wyomings, or Utah State, and not even a sniff. And so that's where I think, you know, we talked before the show, why does 4-4 feel more like 2-6 or worse? That's why.
And the money, John, I'm going to
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah.
And the money's coming in on the mat. It's down to 3.5.
I know. It's something else. We talk about get well games. If this ain't a get well game for the Wolfpack, I don't know what. I'm out of answers.
Let's face it, they got to probably get that in UNLV to get that bowl eligibility.
Yeah.
That's their only chance.
Right.
Yeah, because they're not going to beat San Diego State or Fresno.
Oh, Fresno's beat up a little bit. They keep saying, oh, yeah, they have still, a shot on the, road. Yeah, on the road at Fresno. We've kind of shown what we could, well, the way we play yeah. on the road. You know, and the total's 58 right here. I'm going to do a little bit more research and see if I can maybe make a correlation wager here. But, you know, this is a game that Nevada has to have, you know. I think
– they play well at home, Hawaii notwithstanding. In the whole Norvell era, they've held serve at home for the most part. They're a better team than Lobos, flat out, every facet of the game, I believe. I think the Pack goes out there and they handle them, and they win this game by double digits. This isn't just a Pack factor. Just like Kenny just said with the Cowboys blowing out the Giants, he never says that. I don't ever say that about the Wolfpack either. I think that they win an easy game tomorrow.
They have to. Absolutely have
they
to.
They absolutely have
I
to.
Mean, I think Mummy's job is, you know, we talked about the status and
yeah,
the situation of the head
yeah.
coaches and you saying that no matter what happens, you made the
Let's
comment.
Score some points. Let's open it up.
Are we a running? So are we a pistol team?
Is Carson where's Strong it? Starting? Do we where's, even know that?
Where's this air raid offense?
When you have three quarterbacks, you have zero.
We lose McClain Mannix, but Folsom, he's dynamite. He's just as good as Mannix. I mean, why is this guy not catching 10 passes a day or a week?
Yeah, it's I'm confused by the offense on a weekly basis. I don't know. I know the Union's banged up a little bit, the offensive line, and they're not getting the production out of the offensive line that they would hope for, obviously. But you got to score some points in this league. You can't because New Mexico can score a little bit.
Yeah.
So if it gets out of hand, if it gets away from them early.
It's going to be a cold winter night.
Is Carson, he's starting, correct?
As far as I know, he is. You know, I know that, you know, we all know that Malik's not there anymore.
Yeah, Malik.
And I haven't heard anything about Salerno.
Get our boy Caden Bennett next year. But, yeah, no, I think this is a time to play the Wolfpack, and I haven't said that much.
All right. And let's stay on the Wolfpack flavor.
Yeah.
It's time, boys.
Tuesday.
Wolfpack basketball opens up Tuesday versus Utah. I'm excited about this.
Me too.
I didn't get to, unfortunately, on both scrimmages, I had stuff going, so I couldn't make either scrimmage. I read everything I could about it.
Yeah.
Any insight on why Parrish left?
No, I know that's unfortunate. Eric Parrish was a big-time transfer, JUCO transfer that we were looking forward to seeing. And
he's the number five junior college player.
I don't know what happens. You don't know what happens with these kids. It's you just kind of got to, you know, deal with it day to day. It was hard enough for them to have a starting five in place with the people that left last year. You know, obviously we know who they are, the biggest names in program history for the most part. But, yeah, it's next man up. Who knows? It may be that presents an opportunity for someone to step up. You know, Jalen Harris is probably going to be the guy that does most of the scoring. He's going to be the guy that's keyed in. We got Jad Johnson, obviously. KJ Himes, from all indications, is ready to break out as a freshman, redshirt freshman, which is rare to have a redshirt freshman step in and do this. So
Lindsay's
I'm really
back.
Excited. Lindsay Drew, our man, is back. My man Lindsay, I love it. So yeah,
we finally got a real coach.
It's there you go. But it's really cool. You know, the expectations, that was also obviously awesome to have a preseason top 10 team in Reno, Nevada. That was really cool. That was fun. But right now, without the expectations, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen, but I know that team. I've watched Steve Alford teams for 20 years. I know that they're going to play. They're going to be fundamentally sound. They're going to play till all 40 minutes, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to this. I really am. There's a little more anticipation, if that makes sense.
Josh, I know that you're a basketball fanatic, basketball guru, college basketball mostly, but actually, what do you make the line? I know it's tough, isn't
Utah's
it?
Utah's all right.
You know,
I have a number in my head.
Yeah, it's always tough.
I'm going to write it down. I'm going to see how close we are.
On opening night, you know, it's hard to say, and not to mention, though, Utah's not bad, but they're always kind of late blooming. Early on in the season, they're usually not that great. And
Coach Alford has stated he wants to progress and play his best basketball in January, which is what you want to do when conference play starts.
Right. Yeah, 5.5.
Six.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Utah Lane 6, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Not Nevada.
Right.
No, I think it's 6 too.
I was thinking 3.
Utah minus 3?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you got me for a big bet there.
Yeah,
it is.
Exactly.
Just too many unknowns. Too many unknowns.
Too many unknowns.
Little ring rust, or ring rust, a little court rust maybe from Lindsey. Jalen hasn't played it.
I'll tell you right now, their uniforms are better than they were last year.
We got Nike?
No, we don't. It's still Adidas, unfortunately, which is a damn travesty. But they're a little sharper. They're a little – those were chintzy right. last year for a top 10 program.
All right, Wolfpack opens up.
Yes. Connor agrees. Oh, bless you, Kenny.
Wolfpack opens up on Tuesday versus Utah. Make sure you come down on Back to Pack. Josh, real quick. Man, we didn't even get a chance for UFC.
It's all right, but, yeah, huge card tomorrow night, UFC 244. It's worth checking out because the biggest card there is the 500th ever live event for the UFC, their celebration, whatever, Madison Square Garden. But there are 6 fights on this card that could anchor, you know, I mean, not a pay-per-view, but could be the headlining fight. That's how deep it is. And the main one, Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal. I mean, you're right,
Diaz,
two of the most popular fighters out there right now.
Diaz, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And the co-main, of course, Darren Till against Kelvin Gastelum. It's an amazing fight. All the way down, like I said, the 6th fight here, a light heavyweight, Corey Anderson and Johnny Walker. That could be a main event, you know, headlining fight for a free card. So it's incredibly stacked. And if you only check out UFC once in a while, now's the time.
Make sure you download the William Hill Sports app at www.williamhill.us. Full-service sports betting app right in your fingertips. We'll be posting our picks a little bit later on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. You can follow Josh on Sportsline and on Twitter at JoshNagle1. Connor, I'm sorry. If you're back next week, we're going to get you on. I got a little tied up. He's a little mic shy. We get Jesse with an eye. We get
ready.
Her star. We'll get Connor his star.
Doubt. As long as Diego's not on, I'm good.
All right. See you next week on ESPN 94.5.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.